Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, the better probably of the two hosts that you will have for this show, John Ledyard from over at FanRagSports.com. The illustrious Trevor Sikema is with me this morning, slightly less important than yours truly on this podcast, but still, I think, essential to carrying his weight on this pod. And Trevor, how are you this morning?
I knew it was only a matter of time before those introductions in the previous shows just got straight to your ego and you had to like let people know.
Well, you said last time that I was feeding your ego too much and that you were going to be an egomaniac. So
look, man,
trying to even things out.
It needs to be fed. That's why, you know, that's part of my contract here. That was part of the reason why I signed on.
Oh,
I was supposed to be, you know,
I didn't read the fine print.
You know,
I didn't read the fine print. That's on me.
You can't back out. You can't back out of it now.
I know.
I know. Now you're stuck with me.
We're going to have to re-record that, I think. Before we do that, though, we got to talk. This is an awesome weekend in college football, right? I mean, you got Penn State, Michigan. You've got USC, Notre Dame. You've got so many good matchups looming around the corner. Auburn, Arkansas is always fun. You know, Colorado, Washington State's going to be a good one. I think the night slate looks good. Kansas State, I think, could be a scary little game for Oklahoma. It just looks like one of those weekends in college football that's going to be very enjoyable, I think. And we're going to get to see – we're moving into that stretch where now most of the games start to get good. There's always that – they start off great the first couple weeks. Then there's that lull where everybody's playing like, you know, little sisters of the poor. And then from that point, it kind of moves in, I think, a direction. We start to get more and more competitive. But we get to see a couple guys Thursday night. Who are really intriguing to me. Riley Ferguson, the quarterback from Memphis, Anthony Miller, his receiver, and then not draft eligible this year, but Ed Oliver over at Houston. Looks like could be a little fun Thursday night game. I know not a lot of national implications maybe in the game, and Houston has had their ups and downs this season, but looks like that could be a fun matchup on Thursday night. Have you seen any of Anthony Miller?
I have not. I actually haven't. So like this is a good opportunity for these Thursday night games. You know, I like when we get to see the stars on Thursday night, sure, but like I watch the stars on Saturdays anyways. So like when we get these early week games, I like, you know, when we get some different teams in here. We get a little like hashtag weird with it, and you know, we get to see prospects who you wouldn't get to see otherwise, who get some spotlight, because this is the case too, you know, everybody's playing on Saturday. So you gotta talk about all the big names. You learn all the info about them, but then guys like we're going to see this week, you know, the broadcast, even they will do their due diligence. There was a tongue twister there, and you will get to learn some background information as you get to watch these guys play, which is always great. I think background information as a part of scouting, is something that is overlooked. And so that's what excites me about this. So I haven't seen Miller actually, and I need to see more of him, and I'm getting to see him this week, which I'm excited about. So.
Yeah, this will be a good matchup for Miller. Houston's got some good players on that defense for sure. Ed Oliver's one of those players, a guy that a lot of people think will be the first overall pick or a top five pick at least in next year's draft. 6'3", 290-pound defensive tackle for Houston. Done. Last year as a true freshman, 22 tackles for loss and 5 sacks. That is insane. As a freshman, yeah. Oh, yeah. This year, not quite as impressive statistically, at least 4.5 tackles for loss and 0.5 sack. I actually haven't watched him at all this year. I did watch him some last year just because Houston was better and they were on TV a lot. And this year, just focusing on draft eligible guys, haven't watched him a lot. But Anthony Miller from Memphis is a guy that we've started to talk about more and more on this podcast, and rightfully so, because he has that look of a guy who could play and be not just your regular, like, a run-of-the-mill slot, but a guy that could be a really dynamic slot. And I think he has enough size to play on the outside if you need to as well. I think he's about 5'11", 190, 200, something like that. So not a big receiver for sure, but great separation quickness. Has put up monster production there. Has actually looked really good when Paxton Lynch was there, and has kind of just continued to get better and better from there.
Maybe he was carrying Paxton Lynch because Paxton Lynch can't even get on the field now for the Broncos.
He honestly, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And when I watched Paxton Lynch, I remember this guy, Anthony Miller, who was a sophomore at that time, just continually standing out to me. I was like, man, this kid's for real. And that year, he had 47 catches for 694 yards and 5 touchdowns. Last year, 95 catches for over 1,400 yards and 14 touchdowns, averaged over 15 yards a catch. This year he's around 13.5, and he's already scored 9 times on 45 catches. So he is a red zone machine. He's a big play machine is what he is. He will draw some comparisons, I think, to Antonio Brown. You know, everybody always likes to take the highest end comparison possible for a player rather than finding someone in the middle ground. You know, it's what's cool. But
yeah. What, slot guy who has quick feet. You know, he's the next Antonio Brown.
Exactly. Okay, bud. Big, long X receiver on the outside. You know, he's just a Randy. He's the next Randy Moss. You know,
I think he's got a lot of TO to him. Okay, man. Have a good day. Have a good day, dude.
See you later. Don't talk to me ever again. But that's why when I watch Anthony Miller, I think that he'll probably get that comparison. Maybe a bigger Tyler Lockett to make a more realistic comparison. But I think that he's a really, really good splash player. I'm really excited to see him in this matchup. Should be a good one for him. Should be a good one for Riley Ferguson as well, who I haven't really gotten to see a whole lot of this year. Saw one of his games early in the year a little bit. I think it was the UCLA game. Yeah, I think they beat UCLA. And that was the one that I remember really standing out to me, where I was like, okay, you know, he was a little bit all over the map, but there might be something there to work with. You know, I don't think we're talking first round or anything like that, but I think there could be something there to work with Riley Ferguson. So we get kicked off with a nice fun one on Thursday. I think then if you move to the Saturday games, the first one that's really going to be intriguing to people, Oklahoma State, Texas, noon kickoff. Everybody's looking to see if Texas is ready to take the next step, right?
That's a nooner?
That's a nooner,
man. Noon game?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Texas is kind of a weird team.
Where's that being played? Hold on. Where's that being played?
This is at – wait for it. Loading. I think it's at Texas. Yeah, at Texas, yeah.
So it's a noon game.
Noon game.
For national
– 86 degrees at kickoff. What else do you want to know? Oklahoma State's favored by 7.
So what's the local time at kickoff, or am I an idiot?
Local time at kickoff would be 11 a.m., I want to say. Or is it 2 hours? It's like a 10 a.m. kick.
They're kicking off Texas-Oklahoma State at 11 a.m.?
12 p.m. Eastern is what it's saying on this ESPN page right here.
All right, okay.
Unless they're wrong about that for some reason.
That just, like, does it not seem weird? This seems kind of weird.
It does seem kind of weird. I wouldn't have even thought about it because do you want to know anything else about the game? 86 degrees at kick. Royal Texas Memorial Stadium, Austin, Texas. It'll be on ABC if you're interested.
Okay.
Yeah. let me know if there's anything. No, that is weird, though. I'm looking at it. I'm looking at CBS to make sure that's not wrong. No, that's not wrong.
Better wake up early for the, you know.
They're going to be out there. Think about that, though. If you're the team, you're probably out there for pregame. If it's – I'm looking right now where Texas is. I think Texas is 2 hours. Austin might be 2 hours behind us.
I think it's only one. It's only one.
Because our boy Jonah Tolles is from there. I'm trying to remember what he – you're right. It's one. Okay, Austin, Texas, current time, 9:14. Okay, so it's an 11 a.m. kickoff there. So – you're probably there at least by 9, probably 8:30 a.m., maybe even earlier, depending on what your coach prefers.
I mean, you're shotgunning your first beer at like 6:15, right? That's got to be, you know, 6:15.
You might just not sleep the night before.
That's, you know, that's true. If both of these teams were ranked, this would be an all-nighter. This would be an all-night affair.
And while Texas may not be back per se, think about how close they were versus USC. I mean,
that is my favorite. What you just said is one of my favorite sayings in all of college football because it applies for Texas and Miami. It's when people literally quote unquote say, you know, Miami's not back per se. I don't know why. I just love when people say that about Texas or Miami.
They've been waiting. That's why.
It's just, we talk about it every year. I love when people say that. You know, Texas isn't back per se.
Just yet, but. Yeah, I mean, and it's always followed by the but. But
right, but.
Hey, know, they lose to Maryland the first game of the season. That's obviously a bad one. But then they come and remember this close against USC, man. I mean, what was it? They fumble it or something like that.
Yeah.
I forget what it was. Something in overtime or something. And they lose 27-24. Defense played really well in that game. They beat Iowa State. They get a big win, I thought, against Kansas State to get to to get to 3-2 at the time. They lose to Oklahoma, but they were down and they battled back. And I think Oklahoma is a really good football team, obviously. And they battled back and made that one a game. Seems like they've been pretty like this close to pulling off the upset that could be a big one to propel the program forward. They've got two more chances throughout the rest of the year. Oklahoma State and then at TCU down there at November 4th. And I think that those are probably the two they have circled on their calendar. They've got to make one of those two count, right? And it's a noon kick and Oklahoma State. We've seen them, you know, be a little bit lethargic at times, I think, in these afternoon games. You get into your schedule and Oklahoma State really just hasn't been challenged. I mean, TCU challenged them and beat them, and that was an early kick, I think. And I just thought that Oklahoma State looked sloppy in that game. They looked lethargic in that game. They had opportunities early on they didn't capitalize on, and then TCU took advantage and ended up winning that football game. And I think that I don't know if I'm going to pick Texas to win per se, but I think that Texas could have this. If Texas is up for this game, I think they'll win. Let's put it that way. If Texas is, sure. is up for this game, pumped for this game. No, I'm picking Texas. I'm doing it. I'm picking Texas wow. to win this game. Yeah.
All right. Doing going the upsets out. Early. All I'm right. Okay.
Now, having said that, this is going to be another opportunity to see Mason Rudolph and James Washington show. And it will be a show because I still think it's going to be a high scoring game. I think Texas defense is tough. I don't know if it's tough enough. I don't know if it's tough enough to keep those guys, you know, to blanket those guys or Washington's production. He's 34 catches. That's it. Just 34. He's 882 yards.
That's unbelievable.
That doesn't even make sense. You know, if you had 34 catches for 882 yards, people would think he ran like a four
James
flat.
Washington, James Washington is literally like looking at the defensive back who's across from him, and he's just telling him before the snap, he's just like, I'm going deep.
Right.
I'm going deep. Yeah. I'm going deep. I'm going deep. And that's it. He's just like whispering that to him the whole time, and then he takes off, and he still catches.
It doesn't even matter. Tennessee's going to take another step down as an organization when they get throttled by Alabama.
Oh, my God. What time? Is that a nooner? Is it a 3?
No, that's 3:30. Are you going to watch?
God.
Are you going to watch for the pure enjoyment?
They're going to put that bloodbath on national television.
Oh, yeah, baby. CBS is going to have the whole thing broadcast.
I guess the good thing is that normally, you know, young kids nap during the day, kind of like right around that time.
Well, and I don't think they could get it. They would need parental supervision to be able to pass and get into the channel to watch the game, I think.
Okay, that's good.
It's got an explicit label on it, so.
That's good. That's good.
Definitely rated R.
That game is going to be 60 to nothing.
It's going to be a whitewashing. Miami-Syracuse also at 3:30. Can Syracuse keep up the magic? No.
No.
I don't think so either. But it was fun while it lasted. Syracuse facing their second undefeated team in a row here. So schedule makers didn't exactly do them kindly. They faced LSU, NC State. They did get Pitt then there. They got Pitt, and they were able to win that game. And then they had Clemson, and they won their last two games, 27-24, same score. So Syracuse got some good mojo going. They've had a brutal schedule. But I saw somebody said they lost to Middle Tennessee State, who lost to Florida Atlantic, which basically means Lane Kiffin's the GOAT.
Oh, no question.
Which basically means Lane Kiffin's better than Clemson.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I laughed at that.
Easily. You got to put him in the playoff. You got it.
You do. We're going to have an interesting conversation, speaking of playoffs, about South Florida at some point, aren't we? Because it's getting interesting.
Or UCF.
They're ranked 16th.
Or UCF, one of the
or
two.
Or UCF, correct. Where do you stand in that allegiance? You're a South Florida, right? Or no?
Yeah. I would much rather see USF win, just because this is the area that I'm from, and it's cool to see that there are a lot of people who like USF. But dude, we could literally go into the last game of the year, rivalry week, which is UCF versus USF
November 24th,
and like that, the winner of that game might have a chance to make a Premier Bowl. That could happen,
or potentially more. No,
I mean, I don't think they're going to get close to the playoff just because of the teams that they play.
They don't play
anybody.
And there's
going to be like, you're going to, you know.
UCF, I'm trying to.
Like, you're going to.
Trying to see what
you see. The conversation's going to come up, and we're going to be able to talk about it, which is fun, but.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's definitely going to be a discussion. And UCF has what for their schedule is probably a somewhat tough one with them playing Navy this week. At 3:30, I just don't know. Yeah, I look at those two teams and I don't think that they're going to lose. So I think we're going to see, yeah, a great matchup at the end of the year for sure. Then you're right, the winner of that game could definitely be in great position to potentially get into a bowl game as well. But even throughout the day, we've got fun. I mean, we didn't even mention this one at the outset, but North Carolina, Virginia Tech. North Carolina's having a terrible season right now. But I still, when I watched them, I kept thinking, you know, there's talent here. Like, they haven't, they were close with Louisville. They were decently close with Duke. Then they got blown out by Notre Dame. It seems like things are moving in the wrong direction completely for North Carolina. I wonder if it's one of those moments where that, you know, it's a kind of a gut check time for the organization and they rise up against a tough Virginia Tech team who I think has looked beatable. I think Virginia Tech has a lot of talent, but I definitely think they're beatable. You know, watching them even against Boston College, I was like, man, if Boston College had any semblance of an offense, I feel like they could potentially lose this game, but it just didn't turn out that way. And Boston College didn't. And then the next week, Boston College found it and they beat Louisville. But so that could be another interesting one. They're wedged in there in the middle of the day. North Carolina's got Miami then the next week. So they're going to have a tough go of it. We could realistically be talking about a 1-8 North Carolina team. The Mitch Trubisky factor gone. So even in the afternoon, Indiana, Michigan State, I don't think Michigan State's that great. I know they're ranked 18th right now. I don't think they're that great because I don't think Michigan's that great. So to me, that game is up in the air. That's a toss up to me.
When's the Michigan game? When's Michigan play?
All right. So you ready to get to the good stuff? Michigan and Penn State are at 7:30.
Beautiful. Penn State's going to wipe
in
the floor
Penn State. There'll be 70 degrees at kickoff. Penn State's favored by 9.5. There are 383 seats available if you're thinking of going.
I wasn't.
Okay, just checking. I didn't know if I'm trying to give you all the information on these games.
I appreciate the offer.
For sure. You know, I think you're right. If Penn State comes out focused, and that's always, you just never really know where Penn State's heads are at. I feel like you know, they've let some games be games that shouldn't have been. I think Penn State's way better than Michigan. I really do.
Yes.
I mean, I know I've been low Michigan's on Michigan all good. Year, but yeah, Yeah, Michigan's not good. And they don't have good quarterback play. And offensively, I don't even know. Like, I don't think Michigan really has anybody on offense that even really intrigues me other than on
that
the line.
Running back, 22, Higdon, is that his name?
I haven't even – I don't know if I've watched him.
I think that's his name, Higdon. Like, he's good. I like him.
As an NFL guy, or, like, he's a good college player?
No, I have no idea. I haven't really scouted him that much because I don't really watch Michigan games because I don't like to be bored on Saturdays. So –
he's a junior, Karan Higdon.
Yeah, no, he's been pretty good. Like, the flashes that I've seen from him, I've enjoyed. So we'll get to see that on national television. Is that the only big game, or are there a couple other ones?
Oh, no, there's a couple other ones, yeah. USC Notre Dame is going to be...
Oh, shoot, I forgot about
okay,
that.
Okay, so USC's this is a signature one for USC, in my opinion. Like, I think if USC wins this game, they're back in the conversation for... I mean, obviously they're in the conversation, but... The loser of this game is probably out of the playoffs, right? Because Notre Dame's already lost one. USC's already lost
one.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, this is a massive, massive game on several levels, but probably most notably for Sam Darnold on the road against the 13th ranked team and a good defense and just a good all-around team with a lot on the line. You've played up and down the entire season. This is going to be a game every scout in the country is watching. Every scout in the country is going to have their eyes on Sam Darnold to see not only how he handles the pressure, both in the game and just the stage of the game, but also, like, is his accuracy improved? You know, is he focused in this game? Did he study harder for this game? Does he know what the Notre Dame defense is offering? Can he recognize it quickly? Can he throw with anticipation? You know, there's just so many aspects to this game where I think he's going to be examined over and over and over again. And if he plays well and if he balls out, this game is going to leave a big impression in people's minds. Like, I think this game could – we're going to be talking about Sam Darnold on Monday, 100% on this podcast. We're going to be talking about him one way or the other. There's no in-between. If USC is going to win this game, he needs to be big. And if USC loses this game, it means he wasn't big. So this is just it's a huge game for him. It's a lot on the shoulders of a redshirt sophomore. And if he goes out there and stinks it up and throws three picks, I mean, it could be a big proponent for whether he comes back or goes out. And it's not going to be the whole thing. Yeah. I don't want to make too much of it, but – I think it matters in terms of his decision of whether he's gonna come out or not. Because look at the rest of the schedule.
It's gonna matter a lot. It's gonna matter a lot. No, I'm totally with you. I'm with you here. This is a big game for Sam Darnold, not only for USC but for his imminent future of whether he's gonna be an NFL draft prospect. We continue to talk about it into January and beyond, or if we put on the shelf for another year.
Yeah, I think that we kind of don't. We're gonna all focus on USC because they've got so many good prospects, but. a big part of this is Mike McGlinchey, Quentin Nelson, and what's a pretty good, the rest of Notre Dame's offensive line is a pretty great group as well. And Josh Adams, a junior running back who we haven't talked about a lot, who is a good player, who will get some draft hype as well. Are those guys able to go up against the Uchenna Nwosu and Rasheem Green and Chris Rector and those guys for USC with high NFL ceilings against a Notre Dame offensive line that is rightfully getting a ton of buzz, that has four seniors in their starting group? That's the battle of the game to me, because USC's banged up on the defensive line. Notre Dame, or on the offensive line, Notre Dame has a good defensive line, but those battles in the trenches when Notre Dame has the ball, can they control things on the ground? You know, can Josh Adams get going? Do Quentin Nelson and Mike McGlinchey just destroy that USC D-line, or how do those guys hold their ground? To me, that's one of the stories in this game, because I think if USC can do that and shut down the Notre Dame run game, I think USC is going to win this football game. But to me, this might be the best game of the college football season so far.
It'll be a fun one, and that's not always the case. You know, for a couple years here, Notre Dame has been a down team, and even though USC Notre Dame is kind of a special event, it's great when you have the big names there, and I think you're right. I think that side of the ball is going to be the one that's the most important, because, and I say that because I think that Sam Darnold is going to show up to the occasion. I think that he's going to be great this Saturday, and I'm kind of really looking forward to it. And so I think that his side of the ball is going to be, you know, him and Ronald Jones and Deontay Burnett, I think, are going to get things done on that offensive side of the ball. But it's about Notre Dame. I think it's about whether they can keep up, whether they can control the game they want to, the way they want to control it. And that's going to start, like you said, with the big names of the guys who are in the trenches there. So that side of the ball, I think, is the most important to me, just because I think USC is going to do what they need to do. It's going to be about, can Notre Dame keep up, if you ask me.
Who do you got? Who are you taking?
You know, just I know it's a road game. But I've got to think that if I believe that Darnold's going to be great, I got to trust the quarterback that I think is the better quarterback in the game. So, love what Ronald Jones is doing right now. He is, a favorite of mine in this running back class, you know, more and more, the more I watch him. And so I'm going to bet on that USC offense, and I think that they're going to put up enough points to win.
I agree. I think USC is going to win it. I've said all along that USC is one of the they are top four most talented team in college football. I really believe that. I believe that they deserve to be in the playoffs, but only if they play to their potential. I think they're loaded with stars everywhere. They got them in the secondary. They got them at linebacker. They got them on the defensive line. When the offensive line's healthy, that's a really good group. They've got them in the backfield. They've clearly got them at receiver. Deontay Burnett and a couple of other younger guys having awesome seasons. I think Sam Darnold could be a star. But they've got to play to that potential. That's the consistency is what's lacked for USC. And they're still 6-1, but the consistency is what's lacked. They were a much better team than Washington State. I didn't even think Washington State looked that great in that game. USC just didn't play to their potential in that game. And so if USC can do that the rest of the way, they can finish out the season, be a one-loss team, and they can earn their way into the playoffs because they have played a tough schedule. But if not, then I think that this is the end. Whoever loses this game, I really think they're out. I don't think the playoffs are our question anymore for the loser of this football game. Auburn, Arkansas, we got Kansas, TCU, dude. That's going to be a close one. Where are you going on that one?
Gross.
Hey, we've got a game coming up in a couple weeks.
To get more snacks is what I'm doing for that one. I'm not even going to watch it.
We've got a game in a couple weeks that we're going to have to preview heavily. Kansas, Baylor, November 4th. Yeah. Bro, it's going to be a good one, man. 1-5 Kansas against 0-6 Baylor. It's going to be great. It's going to be a ton of points, I bet, right?
It's going to be, you know how they say, like, an unstoppable force versus an immovable object?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a stoppable force versus a movable object. It's going to be like the exact opposite of what you would call a Titanic matchup, man. You know, you and I might need to just preview that game heavily just because.
Right, facetiously.
Just because for kicks. Yes. God, that's ugly. All right, yeah, are there any others this week? Is there a late one? Is there a good late one?
What's going on with Florida? How's Florida doing?
They have a bye week, but they're going to lose the bye week. So
right, how are you going to handle that? Not being able to watch that explosive offense, are you going to be okay?
I'm gonna actually enjoy my Saturday fully.
There was one.
I actually might be going to the the Light game on Saturday, so you and I will have a little rivalry connection.
Mm. Who are they playing?
That happened, but I'm not sure.
Who's the Lightning
playing? The Penguins.
Oh, they are again. Again, they just played them. I don't follow. Yeah, no, I only follow results of hockey in football season. Other than that, I'm like out of it.
True, but you know, when I'm forced to either watch Florida football or do something else that might save me, sometimes I take the save me route. Right. I'll go watch a different sport.
Understood. That's fair. The only game we didn't really mention was Louisville, Florida State, which at the beginning of the year, I think everybody probably would have had circled and they would have said, that's the game right there.
Oh man.
Things haven't turned out. That's a noon kickoff too. And things haven't turned out quite like people thought it would. But at the same time, that's going to be a really serious game for Florida State. I mean, they got straight embarrassed last year.
You better get your drinks and your snacks the day before, because these nooners are,
I'm telling you,
they're,
man,
packing some punch.
They are. You know? It's a great slate.
I'm all about it.
Are you going to be around? Are you going to be watching? Or what's the deal?
Oh,
here?
Yeah. No, I'll be around. Okay. I'm always good for the like noon to 8 o'clock games. It's just sometimes I do things in the evenings where I've got to either catch the highlights of it or watch the game later on my own or whatever.
Like sleep.
But,
yeah.
I mean that. Well.
Sure. You have no nightlife. Yeah. Don't try and.
So, but the nooners, dude, trust me, I'm always strapped in for the noon game. Even if it's, you know, even if it's Minnesota,
Baylor, Kansas,
Minnesota, Indiana State. All right. I'm in.
Indiana State.
Give it to me. It's a nooner. That's
well,
why
Tulsa,
we're here.
Tulsa
That's
and Connecticut are playing at
wait,
noon.
We wait like 7 months, 8 months out of the year, begging, John, for a noon kickoff between Minnesota and Indiana State.
Tulsa and Connecticut are here for your viewing pleasure. A lot of Tulsa, Connecticut happening.
Yes.
Also, Idaho might beat Missouri. Could be another noon one to watch out for. Missouri's terrible. I think we picked most of the ones that really mattered, offered our thoughts on a couple of the ones that matter. We both think Penn State's going to win. We both think Auburn's going to beat Arkansas, right? Both think TCU's getting it done, right? I mean, Kansas is good, but not that good. Just kidding. San Diego State going to pull it out. Rashad Penny going to keep being ridiculous. He's up over 1,000 yards. We didn't even mention that. And Washington State gets back on the winning track against Colorado, right? Maybe.
I'm not ready. You know what? I'm not ready. I'm not ready to write these in pen yet. Don't rush me.
No, they're in pen. It's over.
Don't rush me. Rush me.
If you guys are interested, leave us a review and a rating on iTunes and include your Twitter handle, and you could be entered in a chance to win Pro Football Focus's Edge subscription. Tons of great information. I use it all the time. My subscription is one of my favorite things to use. You got player grades in there. You got advanced stats. You got fantasy information. You got draft information on a lot of these college guys. You just can't get anywhere else. So make sure, just go over our iTunes page, leave a review and a rating. We're picking one winner per show per week. So make sure you guys check that out as well. Until next time, which will be tomorrow. And Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus is coming on the show. He's going to talk to you guys about his thoughts on how the college football season is shaking out so far. Enough of us. Enough of hearing Trevor and I. Going
to
get Mike's thoughts.
Thank God we don't have to hear a whole show with John just rambling on.
Oh, okay. All right. That's enough for Trevor for today. So until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.